It had been in a snowdrift, after all, and had been lying there for some days. The mare's remains should have been frozen stiff. Then the vomiting began. The fever came next, and with it, the struggle not to change until he was close enough to his old white daddy to rip him limb from limb. The being, whose coming had been prophesied for thousands of years, mostly by the Mani folk and usually in frightened whispers, the being who would grow to be half-human and half-god, the being who would oversee the end of humanity and the return of the Prim, that being had finally arrived as a naive and bad-hearted child who was now dying from a bellyful of poisoned horse meat. Ka could have had no part in this. 3. Roland and his two companions didn't make much progress on the day Susanna left them. Even had he not planned to travel short miles so that they could come to the tower at sunset of the day following, Roland wouldn't have been able to go far. He was disheartened, lonely, and tired almost to death. Patrick was also tired, but he at least could ride if he chose to, and for most of that day he did so choose, sometimes napping, sometimes sketching, sometimes walking a little while before climbing back into Hofat II and napping some more. The pulse from the tower was strong in Roland's head and heart, and its song was powerful and lovely, now seemingly composed of a thousand voices, but not even these things could take the lead from his bones. Then, as he was looking for a shady spot where they could stop and eat a little midday meal, by now it was actually mid-afternoon, he saw something that momentarily made him forget both his weariness and his sorrow. Growing by the side of the road was a wild rose, seemingly the exact twin of the one in the vacant lot. It bloomed in defiance of the season, which Roland put as very early spring.